Good Saturday afternoon. Welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Another hour in the outdoors. And you're listening to 94.5 WGTK FM, The Answer in Greenville, South Carolina. And, you know, normally this time I'd ramble on for a few minutes and waste a few minutes and then get around the calendar of events. But we'll just go ahead and get right to the calendar events because one of the events for this week is happening at Green Pond Landing and Event Center, which sponsors the calendar. And I want to welcome Todd Goad to the Woods and Water, South Carolina. Todd, thanks for being on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Roger. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. You're welcome. Hey, got a text from Neil Paul that, you know, did I have time to talk about a tournament coming up at Green Pond? I'm like, sure. And I got looking at the tournament. It's like one of these that I can fish because it's a one lure tournament.
That's correct. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's on Saturday, May the 5th, and it's the Pulse Jig.
Yeah.
It's a shad imitating kind of bait.
Right.
And, you know, you can put the trailer of your choice on it. It's, you know, it's a bait that wobbles through the water, looks a lot like a shad. So with the herring spawn going on at Lake Hartwell right now, it should be a great time. Should be a lot of fish weighed in.
I bet that I've been fishing a couple of times here over the last couple of weeks, and the weather is finally kind of evened out enough, and I think the fish are kind of know what they're supposed to do. And you're right, the bedding's probably going to be almost over at Hartwell, but the shad spawns will be just cranking up, won't it?
Absolutely. There'll be several of those wolf packs of fish that like to cruise those clay points and feed on those herrings. So it should be a great event. This bait catches them. Yeah, I've used this bait for several years, and it's always tied on to a rod of mine when I'm fishing a tournament, that's for sure.
Now, it's as near as I can explain this to people on the radio. If you have a jig head and you put kind of like the, you know, the lampshade almost like you put on your dog to keep from biting something, it's close to that. It's got that little clear film, I don't know what you call it, blade to it up above the jig head, and that's what gives you the wobble, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, this, you can categorize this bait in what's like called the scrounger category.
Okay.
There's several other baits, you know, made like that. But, you know, one thing that differs the Pulse Jig from those scrounger type baits is the way that it's put on the head with the clevis that's used behind it to lock that bill in place. It creates that cup, that lampshade effect that you mentioned.
Right.
And it really provides extra vibration in the water. The material that is used to make the bill on this bait also doesn't yellow. It stays nice and clear for a long time, whereas, you know, the other competitors out in the marketplace, their bills tend to yellow, you know, a lot quicker. So, you know, this bait is definitely top shelf in its class, and it catches fish.
Tell us a little bit about the tournament, because not only do I like this just a one lure tournament, but there's a couple other interesting things about this tournament. So it's happening May the 5th. Tell us about the details now.
Absolutely. It is a no entry fee tournament with a first place prize guaranteed of $1,000. So there's, you know, not a lot of other tournaments out there with no entry fee guarantee and $1,000 for first place. Yep. There's also going to be cash prizes, all the way down to fifth place. So,
okay,
you know, second place is going to be 500. Third place is going to be 300. Fourth place is going to be 200, and fifth place is going to be $100. But also we're going to have prizes from 6th through 10th place. And one of my great sponsors, Fitzgerald Rods,
okay,
has donated a lot of prizes. We're going to give away some rods and some weigh-in bags and some braided line. And it's just a lot of great prizes for this event. It's a two-person team. You know, you can't fish by yourself. You got to have a two-person team. It is a five-fish limit.
All right.
There's a one-pound penalty for dead fish, and you're only allowed two dead fish in your creel, maximum. All fish caught must be weighed in using the Pulse Jig, and we're going to do a boat check in that morning of the 5th. And the only thing you can have in your boat are Pulse Jigs and the trailers that you're going to use to put on those baits.
Okay.
Like a Zoom,
sure,
like a Zoom Fluke, or, you know, a D-Shad, or, you know, tie tack or any bait that you want to put on the pulse jig, you know, you're welcome to have that in the boat. But as far as the mainline lure, all you can have in your boat is a pulse jig. So
I love it.
Which makes it's awesome.
That's throwing a real kink in the tournament series, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, there are some other general rules, like, you know, you got to wear your life jacket sure. at all times when the outboard's running, and, you know, you got to be back in on time or you'll be disqualified, which the hours are going to be safe light until 2:30.
Okay.
And if you want to register for the tournament, yep. you can go to www.thepulsejig.com. There's a tab in the top right-hand corner of the website that says Hartwell Tournament. If you click on that, you can see all of the rules. And at the bottom, you can enter with your name and your email address. And when you submit that, you'll get a confirmation email, and you can actually see the list of people that have signed up for the tournament already.
Yeah.
We have 55 entries in so far.
Yep.
So it's going to be a great time. We're also going to have when you check in down at the bottom of the hill there by the ramps at Green Pond Landing and Event Center on that Saturday morning, we are going to have some pulse jigs there for sale as well. So if you need to stock up, we'll have some there to sell as well.
Very nice. Well, Todd, thanks for taking a few minutes to be on the show. A unique tournament, folks. If you're out there, get your buddy. You only need one lure, maybe you need 5 or 10 of them, depending on if you lose them like me. You need some plastic trailers. And Hartwell, May the 5th. Todd, thanks for being on the show, and I hope you have a great tournament.
Hey, Roger. Thanks again for having us, and thanks for all you do to support fishing and the outdoors in the upstate community. Appreciate it a lot.
Well, I tell you, it's a lot of fun. You know, I make no bones about it. I love coming in here every Saturday. I love going during the week and doing whatever I'm doing. But, man, being in the outdoors and watching people have a good time, it's just so much fun.
Absolutely.
Yep. Thanks, Todd. Talk to you soon, and good luck next weekend.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
Yep. Now, that's kind of cool. You only need one lure, some trailers. I mean, you could get away with, what, two rods? I mean, most of us are tripping over rods on the front deck of a bass, but we've got 20 or 25 laid out there, you know. No entry fee, cash prizes, first through fifth. Just a real wrinkle in the tournament trail series out there that could be fun. Let's see. Going along with the fishing, let's do this. May the 5th, Justin Christopher Memorial Sports Shooters Classic, Rocky Creek Sporting Clays. It's going to be from 9 a.m. to 2:30. You can probably go to Rocky Creek Sporting Clays and find out more information about that one. Let's see if they're going to be, Family Fishing Rodeos, our Kids Fishing Rodeos, May the 5th. The Ponds Fishing Rodeo in Dorchester County, Lake Thickety in Cherokee County, Star Fort Pond in Greenwood County, Marlboro County Fishing Rodeo in Marlboro County, and Burton Wells Park in Beaufort County. Those are all fishing rodeos from either 9 a.m. or 8 a.m. to noon or 1. You need to go pre-register, remember. Go to the Department of Natural Resources, look up fishing rodeos, and pre-register for these. And they're, bring your own tackle. They used to be tackle there, but I don't think that's there anymore for most of them anyway. Let's see. What else have I got here? I'm going through there. They're coming here. I guess you can get in on this one. Saturday, May 19th, Savannah River Classic Fishing Tournament on the lower Savannah River in Georgia and South Carolina. Saturday, May 19th, you got a captain's dinner on Friday, May 18th. Categories include bass, catfish, panfish, and more. It's family friendly with youth, ladies, and bank fishing divisions. For more information and to register, visit www.lowersavannahriveralliance.org. Looks like a fun time, and where you can just catch anything and weigh it all in. My kind of fishing tournament. All right, hang on through the break. We'll be back with more Woods and Water South Carolina, and we're going to talk hiking a lot today. So hang on for that one. The Get Out More tour is coming to town, and we're going to talk to Michael Silverman at the local hiker. So back on the other side of the break. Wow, Glenn Campbell Day here on Woods and Water, South Carolina. Gotta love good music like that. And you gotta love having local shops, you know, right down the road, shops like the Local Hiker that are run by great people like Michael Silverman. And Michael joins us today on Woods and Water, South Carolina, to talk a little hiking and get out more tour, ice cream, and whatever else we can run into. Michael, how are you?
I'm great, Roger. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm good. We were talking earlier, Ben. Spartanburg's just a hopping place over there.
I'll tell you what, man. It's growing leaps and bounds. There's stuff popping open new every day, so it's fantastic. We love to see the growth.
Absolutely. And y'all have been there for how long now? What, 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, we're actually in year five.
Year five.
We'll complete year five and be in year six coming this October. So it's been a great run so far.
And y'all were there kind of on the beginning when they were going through that downtown revitalization program and all. So y'all have seen it start from before what it is to what it is now. It's changed a lot down there.
It has. I'd actually say we got in at the ground floor, if you want to call it that. We got in before a lot of the changes in the downtown streetscapes and all the new buildings started being renovated. We got in early, so
very
we got
good.
In and worked out most of our kinks.
Very good. Well, the shop is the Local Hiker, and you got something coming up on May the 5th, and I'm actually going to talk to Randy Propster here later on the show today about the Get Out More tour. And is this the second or third year you've hosted the tour?
No, this is actually our fifth year.
Fifth year.
Oh man, yeah, this has been it's been rolling for a while, and Backpacker Magazine, you know, we actually called them the first spring that they were running it, which was our first spring as a store. So
okay.
We kind of called and said, "Hey, are you interested in coming out here?" And they said, "Yeah, sure. We'll make it. We'll see if we can make it happen." And they made it happen. But ever since then, because Spartanburg has been so supportive, and the upstate area has been so supportive, every year after the first year, they've called us. So that just lets you know how well it's going, and we love the relationship, and we're happy to host them.
Well, I know when I was talking to them about getting Randy on, they were really, really excited about coming back to Spartanburg and couldn't talk enough about how great you guys were over there at the shop and how much they enjoyed coming. So I won't steal any of his thunder, but they're bringing the Get Out More tours coming back to Spartanburg May 5th, which is next Saturday. What time does everything kick off, and what else do y'all have going on that Saturday?
So it's going to actually last from 1 to 4. You know, the line out, of course, Backpacker Magazine is the core headliner. But we have lots of outdoor groups that will be here. Samba, which is the Spartanburg Area Mountain Biking Association, will be here with a table and information. Cross State Park and Friends of Cross will have a table. Actual Leave No Trace for the state of South Carolina is going to be here. So it's a big event. Of course, we're going to have live music from Backline, which is a bluegrass group here locally to Spartanburg area. We'll have some food and we're working on the beer permit. So it's going to be a fantastic day. We're looking forward to it.
You know, you mentioned something, Leave No Trace.
Yes, sir.
I've talked about it here before, and I think we've touched on it before when you've been on the show before. Take it just a minute and tell people again, what is Leave No Trace and the mentality behind that?
You know, it's really about, you know, take only pictures, leave only footsteps. You know, we want the resources that we have, and in the upstate of South Carolina, the lakes and the trails and the Smoky Mountain National Park, which is the most visited park in the national park system in the United States, of course, and it's right here in our backyard. But it's really about leaving those resources for those behind us, because you know, we're only here for a short time, and it's our responsibility to maintain what we've got and to leave it in good shape for the next group. That's really the premise behind Leave No Trace, which is, you know, just go in and enjoy the views, enjoy the time, enjoy the things that some people never get an opportunity to see, but make sure you leave it better than you found it. You know, it's a fantastic foundation principle for operation when you're out in the woods and doing whatever it is you enjoy doing, whether it's hunting, fishing, backpacking, whatever it is you do, just leave it better than you found it. And Leave No Trace principles are really the foundation of that building block.
I taught a little class over the last year to some second through fifth graders, and loosely called South Carolina Outdoors. It's pretty much just brought in stuff and let them put their hands on it because they don't get exposed to this stuff. And you know, see them rambling through camping gear or fishing tackle or whatever has just been fun. But it was one of the easiest lessons I got to teach them, and they all remembered it here the last of the year. I said, you know, what's the one thing you leave behind when you come out of the woods? And they all said, just footsteps. And it's if a second through fifth grader can learn it and remember it all year, then it's got to be easier for the adults to get into that mode. And remember, the only thing you leave behind are your footprints.
That's right. Take only pictures, leave only footprints. That's so it. It's a great rule to live by, no matter what you're doing outdoors.
It is. What's let's take a second. What's new in the shop? What you got that's cutting edge for the summer of 2018?
Well, we've swapped out some of the equipment. We've got a couple of new lines in the shop. We've got Prana, which is of course an outdoor enthusiast and yoga focused line, both men and women's. We've got Mountain Khakis, which is a fantastic outdoor rugged gear line affiliated with. They have a corporate headquarters in Charlotte, and they're based out of the Midwest, of course. Then we've got Cool. So we've actually swapped out some of the soft good environments and brought in some new stuff for everybody to enjoy and see the upcoming soft good lines. Of course, the shoe lines are still strong with Oboes and Basque and Merrill and Salewa. So everything's popping. You know, the outdoor industry in Spartanburg is slowly growing. People are starting to get more and more exposure, and we're glad to be part of it. So there's a lot of great new stuff. We're always running classes. We just did how to pack a backpack. Just a couple nights ago, I did a class in the shop. They're always free. We try to do those once a month. We do meetup hikes once a month. We just did the John Rock Loop last Saturday. So we always got stuff going on, man.
How do people find out more about what's going on out there, the local hiker?
Yeah, man, you can always come in the shop or you can check out our Facebook page, of course, Local Hiker on Facebook. And you can hit our website, which is www.thelocalhiker.com. Man, there's always new stuff happening, man. It's the industry's exciting, being outdoors is exciting, and we're glad to expose friends and family to it.
Now, you've also taken over the Glendale Outdoor Leadership School.
That is correct. Kathy and I took that over in July of last year.
And what all have you got going out there this summer?
Yeah, so we're actually running a summer camp. Right now, the Boys and Girls Club is running through there. Let me just caveat everything by saying that the Glendale Outdoor Leadership School is a 501c3 nonprofit.
Right.
Setgoals.org is the website. And we've got facilities that can be rented. We have an indoor rock climbing wall. We have a high ropes course, a low ropes course. Me and a couple other guys have already guided multiple groups down the Packlet, either out of Lawson's Fork or out of Clifton Beach. We do classes out there also. There's a ton of stuff going on. So we're running a summer camp. Each week will be focused on a specific area. One will be mountain biking week, one will be backpacking week, one will be rock climbing week, and one will be kayaking week. At the end of the week, depending on your skill set, what you've learned during that week will determine which tier adventure you get to go on, whether it's a close to home flat water tier or you get to go down the Packlet and experience a couple of 0.5 or one class rapid. So yeah, man, it's gonna, we're excited. We're excited. Lots of things happening, lots of moving stuff. So it's all good, man. Everything's moving in a positive direction.
And if you've been out on the trail and felt like you've earned it while you're there, you can always go by Hub City Scoops and get you some ice cream.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So there's the work and reward, right? So,
that's right.
The reward is the ice cream. Of course, Kathy and I opened Hub City Scoops back in the summer of 2016. So we're coming up on 2 years there. And once again, huge reception. We're an independent retailer for chocolate chop ice cream. And, we have people coming from North Carolina and I love saying it, but coming from Greenville to come and get the ice cream because it's unique. We're one of the only, independent retailers in the Southeast. We're helping a couple other shops get their footing, utilizing chocolate shop, one out of North Carolina, another one out on the coast of North Carolina. So, it's getting traction down here and we're glad to be part of that also.
Very good. Michael, thanks for taking a few minutes of time. You and I, we got to get together and plan this this how to do your backpack thing soon.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'd love to come in the studio and have a blast with you, brother, anytime.
That'd be good. Well, thanks for taking a few minutes out of your day today. Look forward to being out there May the 5th. Don't forget, folks, the Local Hiker, May the 5th, 1 to 4. Get out more, tour. Stop in, say hello to Michael, and enjoy an afternoon of food, fun, and the outdoors.
That's exactly right. Thanks for the time, Roger.
Yes, sir, Michael. Talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Take care.
And there you go. I mean, we're going to talk to Randy Propster in the next segment about the Get Out More Tour. And there you've heard from the owner of the shop where it's going to be. So, and Michael, he is a bundle of energy. and they've always got something good going on. And now with them taking over Glendale Outdoor Leadership School, and that's watch for good things coming out of there. And summer camps, you know, man, here it is already the end of April. I haven't had a chance to get to any of the summer camps, but you heard him talk about Glendale. They have their summer camps. You've got the Youth Learning Institute down at Clemson, and they have like five different camps, an outdoor camp, a wilderness camp, a shooting camp, a tech camp. Then you got, of course, Camp Wildwood's full. Sorry, folks. That thing filled up back in January. That's an incredible thing for Camp Wildwood, which is the Department of Natural Resources summer camp, has been full. And I've talked to Dan Dupree. You know, Dan, you really need to do another one. And Dan's got a lot on his plate, but he knows how to run that camp, and they just have such a good time out there, those kids. So, you know, next year, if you wanted to go to the Department of Natural Resources camp, you'd have to start planning, like, fall to get on that list. Then you've got some other camps around the state. You've got Camp Woody down in near Rimini, South Carolina. That's the South Carolina Waterfowl Association camp. Ed Paul's been on here talking about that one before. You know, that's the one where they throw the big inner tube in the mud puddle, and all the kids get out there, and, you know, it's captured the inner tube. And look, once you get wet and once you get that good South Carolina red mud all over you, I mean, that's just fun. And then you got, you know, day camps like Coastal Expeditions down in Charleston. You know, they have camps where they take you out into the salt marsh, and you experience the salt marsh. It's a science-based camp. I think they do some campouts on Bull Island and some of the barrier islands out on the coast. It's just one of those times of the year when you can't get enough into a show about the outdoors and what all's out there. And you know, last week I talked about Broken Boys and you know, it's technology and all. And I know it's tough during the year, you know, when you got school, you got sports, you got studying, you got work, you got all this stuff going on. I understand it's tough to make time to get out there. But, hey, summer is coming. It's a lot easier now to make time to get out there and enjoy the outdoors. I mean, it's so beneficial. Plus, it makes you feel good. So anyway, hang on through the break. We're going to talk to Randy Propster about the 2018 Get Out More Tour that's coming to the local hiker May the 5th. To Woods and Water, South Carolina. Boy, I haven't heard that bumper music in a long time. What? Gosh, Glenn Campbell. A great musician, great artist. I saw him once at the Peace Center here in Greenville. Reminded me of a lounge lizard, but you know, hey, he was great. I don't mind if he looks the part, man. He is a great musician. Good song. We are we're hitting the trails. This is full blown out trail warfare here coming up in the month of May, and we're starting it out. Because it's not the Get Out Tour. It's the Get Out More Tour of 2018, sponsored by Backpacker Magazine. And Randy Propster was kind enough to spend some time with us. Randy, thanks for being on Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Hey, it is a pleasure to be on, so thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're absolutely welcome. Take just a moment and tell us about yourself and how you got this job. I mean, what a job going out and trying to get people outside more.
It is quite the gig, right? I say all the time, I pinch myself regularly. I have a permanent bruise on my arm. I do not take it for granted and feel very, very fortunate to have the opportunity. Fortunately, you know, Backpacker entrusts in me the ability to represent their brand and travel around the United States trying to motivate folks to spend more time out on those trails. As you and I both know, it can have an enormous impact on your life and just, you know, change the way you think, change the way you feel. And so I'm just stoked to be able to do all I can do to get more people out there enjoying it. I've been with the magazine for 12 years now, actually. So I've pretty long tenure with Backpacker. 10 of those 12 years I've lived, I can jokingly call myself the happiest homeless person you'll ever meet because I just, you know, cannot have a permanent address. This doesn't make sense when I spend as much time as I do on the road. This year, I'm going to be on the road, a 32-week road trip where I literally do not, you know, have a place to go back to. I move from one location to the next. Along the way, I visit specialty retailers. I visit festivals. I get time out in the field with readers, leading them on hikes. And the whole goal is really to just, you know, prepare people, get them motivated, get them excited, make sure they know how to do the right set of skills and pack the right gear so they can be safe and comfortable and confident. And Backpacker entrusts in me the ability to do that based on just a ton of time in the field.
Yeah.
I tell my nieces and nephews and godchildren all the time, I say, find something you love to do, do it with all your passion, and find somebody that'll compensate you for it, and you'll never work a day in your life. And I feel like I've kind of cracked that code, so to speak, and just feel lucky that right out of college, I went and dropped down to Springer Mountain in Georgia and spent a couple hundred days walking up to Mount Katahdin in Maine and just fell in love with that long distance, you know, 3-mile-an-hour lifestyle of just letting the world unfold in front of you one step at a time on a beautiful single-track trail. And that kind of sparked the long-distance bug so much so that a few years later I went and dipped a chili toe in the Atlantic Ocean and one early spring morning and 253 days and about 4,400 miles later, I took a celebratory swim in the Pacific Ocean after walking across the United States on the American Discovery Trail. Again, you know, in my opinion, the absolute best way to see this amazing country and meet the just unbelievably kind people that make it up as you travel one step at a time at that 3-mile-an-hour pace.
Yeah.
And so just, you know, lots and lots of time, thousands and thousands of miles and hundreds and, you know, now thousands of nights in tents on trail have given me, you know, the resume to be able to stand in front of a group of folks and be authentic to what it takes to, you know, myself feel safe and comfortable and confident and hopefully give them some tips that allow them to do the same.
Absolutely. Boy, you know, you mentioned something about how therapeutic being outdoors is. I'm sure like you, I've got story after story after story about how the benefits of getting outdoors to not only your physical, but your mental well-being.
100%. Yeah. It amazes me, you know, that not only the kind of spiritual connection you can have with nature, mm-hmm. so to speak, you know, regardless of a religious background, there's no doubt that, you know, Mother Nature in and of herself can get inside you. You know, when you, like you said, whether it be just the physical nature of feeling healthier, the idea of just being able to detach a little bit, maybe put the screens down for a little while.
Sure.
Give yourself to process, you know, what's going on in your own head and being surrounded by that natural beauty that, you know, in this country, we're fortunate to have access to. And that's a gift that I think we've been given that a lot of people, you know, unfortunately don't take advantage of enough. And so, you know, that's the whole idea is to just get people realizing, you know, just how impactful it can be to on your personal life. I've said many, many times that I think, you know, the trail is one of the best teachers I've ever encountered. You know, I've learned so many life lessons out on the trail, whether it be, you know, perseverance, the ability to be resilient in difficult situations, the ability to choose your attitude. You know, you can't choose the weather.
That's right.
What gear you bring with you to protect yourself from it, but you can certainly choose to enjoy the fact that you just had an amazing experience in a clouded in day, or you can be grumpy that you didn't get the view. And you know, that's a something that putting yourself in that position out in nature gives you an opportunity to be exposed to those kinds of lessons. And so I'm forever grateful for the access I've had to trails and just hope I can motivate more people to experience the same.
You know, you're exactly right. There's all it takes is a sunrise, a sunset, one little scene during a given day, and it's all worth it.
Whatever it took
to get out there and whatever you left behind that you know you got to pick up and tend to when you get back, it's just all worth it once that one moment happens during the day.
That's exactly right. You know, and so many people, the kind of the modern world we live in, you know, everybody wants to take that perfect selfie and you know, get that summit shot. But I tell you the most impactful parts are the in-betweens. You know, a lot of people see the summit and lose sight of the mountain along the way. And it's the mountain that really impacts you. So you just have to be out there and do it and experience to be, you know, impacted in the way that you can be. And I've had moments out there where I'm the most emotional I've ever been in my life. And it's just because of the fact that, you surround yourself with that environment and physically challenge yourself in ways that can put you out of your own comfort zone. And it's just a pretty amazing, you know, I don't want to overhype it to the point where it just sounds like I've drank the Kool-Aid, but I tell you, you know, I certainly have seen it impact so many people's lives,
yeah.
Not just my own, that I really do believe in the power of time on trail.
Well, this is the 18th Get Out More Tour. Where all are you headed? I mean, you know, you're coming to Local Hiker in Spartanburg, but this is not just an East Coast thing. You're going all over.
That's right. I love that shop. I'll be honest with you, Michael and Kathy do an amazing job there in Spartanburg with engaging their community. And then what a great outdoor community that you have there. But it is just, it's one stop on the tour. We've got, I'll be 60 plus stops this year all over the United States. I pretty much wrap around the lower 48. I don't have an official event in every single state, but I pretty much drive through most all of them on the way to and through to get from one event to the next. You know, we're up in the Northeast with events in New England, all the way down to Florida, all the way out to Southern California, all the way up to Seattle, Washington area, and all points in between. Some great festivals along the way, a combination of things like Trail Days in Damascus, Virginia, or PCT Days in Cascade Locks, Oregon, where we're North Country Trail Fest is actually coming up really soon. Be there in the Hocking Hills this upcoming, next week or so. And it's a combination of events that celebrate trails, again, and the access that we have to them. We're celebrating this year the 50th anniversary of the National Trails System Act, which I think is, pretty spectacular. Again, that idea of a gift that we've been given by our Congress to be able to designate wild lands that we have access to. And then I get to go to some pretty cool, music festivals of the world, too, the Floyd Fest of the world. And,
all right.
Telluride Blues and Brews Festival, and spend camp out weekends with folks that come out there to enjoy some vivations and some great music, but at the same time they're camping out along the way, so they're a great audience to try to reach with that same get out more message.
What happens when you come to Local Hiker? What are you bringing with you?
Yeah, so the retail events I love because it puts me, it gives me an opportunity to engage with communities at the local level at what I consider to be a prized possession, that specialty retailer. That's unfortunate that more and more of them are being challenged with the competition of the online options of the world. But I tell you, there's just something about being able to go into a local shop and talk to somebody from your community who lives it and loves it and can help share opportunities as far as where to go, when to go, what you need to have with you. So I try to support specialty retailers to keep them thriving and surviving in this tough economy. But when I show up there to the local hiker, I'll bring a carload of gear, some of the latest and greatest stuff, some of the things that I believe have enhanced my experience. I will not talk about a single thing that I don't personally use and believe in. I feel like if it helps me out there, then there's a chance it could help you out there. So I want to share it with you. I do a full, 75 to 90 minutes, depends on how long-winded I get talking about, the skill set that needs to complement all of this gear. You can have the best gear in the world, and if you don't know when and how to use it, it's not going to do you any good. So we want to talk about, the skills that you need out there, the things you should be prepared for as far as just in case kind of stuff. You are putting yourself in a remote place sometimes. You are going to be dependent upon yourself, and I think that's another one of those great lessons that you'll learn out there is that idea of the importance of self-sufficiency and being able to prepare before you get out there. We cover on, a lot of great topics, everything from the awareness of leave no trace and making sure that we're not, utilizing this gift in a way that won't allow it to be preserved for the next generation as well. And we're going to talk about how to put a full kit together, really. I mean, I'll leave this audience with enough information to hopefully want to go home and put their own kit together with a group of, essential systems of gear, as I like to call it, combined with the right skills, and empower them to feel like, I can do this. I can get out there on that trail and feel comfortable, and I know I'm going to be safe. And if you can do those things, you'll be pretty confident. When you get out there with confidence, that's when you open those doors that we talked about earlier where you can now let the power of nature kind of creep in and impact you in a really great way.
What is maybe one or two of the latest and greatest things you're going to be bringing with you on the tour this year?
Yes, I mean, it's amazing. I call it an evolution of gear, right? And it's so fun. Even folks that came out to any event last year, coming back this year again, you kind of get this amazing opportunity to just see how the industry continues to evolve and try to find ways that we can have equipment that's just maybe a little bit lighter. Maybe it's a little different construction or design for durability. You know, we now have such lightweight options as far manufacturing of different materials and construction methods. Got some, you know, sleeping pads now that are, Cedar Summit just put out a really cool line a couple years back, and they continue to evolve them. Their air sprung cell technology that just disperses the weight in an awesome way. They're insulated to keep you good R values and keep you warm out there, but they're designed now with a pump system in the stuff stack, so you don't even have to put your mouth on the thing to blow it up.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, how many times have you gotten to a campsite and you go to blow up your pad, and 40 breaths later you're winded and you've got lightheaded, you know? So I mean, it's just little things like that. There's comforts that I'll talk about as far as, you know, every single one of us could have a debate on what's a want and what's a need, right? As
sure.
far as when you're out there.
Sure.
And you know, some folks would say that coffee is not an option. That's a need, not a want, right? And so got a great piece of equipment with me this year called the NanoPresso. That's literally a small handheld device that can create 260 PSI with a little thumb pump, so you can make your own espresso in the backcountry.
No.
I mean, so, there's all sorts of cool gadgets out there. You know, Osprey just launched a line of packs that I'm kind of excited about myself, because I travel a lot of different ways, and there's times I go out there and take a full kit of comfort items, and then there's other times I try to go pretty light and fast and cover some miles. And yeah. They've got a new line of packs with their Levity and Lumina offerings for both men and women that are designed as a sub-2-pound backpack that is made out of just state-of-the-art materials that allow you now to put a kit together where, I mean, you can do a 3-day trip, full food, full water, and be under 25 pounds. I mean, it's just extremely achievable these days.
A far cry from the old external steel pack frames of 20 years ago.
It's amazing, right? I mean, when you think about it, the fact that you've got the opportunity now to carry a full shelter system for right around 2 pounds. You've got the opportunity to carry a pack for less than 2 pounds, a full sleep system, sleeping bag and pad for the same deal in that 2-pound range. I mean, some of those items right there alone would have been about the weight of the whole kit we're carrying today, you know, 25 years ago.
Yeah, we trying to remember what year it was. It's probably 1996, 98 maybe. We did an elk hunt, and we did it backpack only. And I remember, you know, it was 65, 70 pounds, and that was without food, I think. And,
yeah.
You know, the food consisted of, you know, instant grits and I remember my one of the guys that went with us, he hoofed it and brought in MREs. And towards the end of the week he wouldn't go eat all his MREs, and I'm sitting there eating grits and ramen noodles and all, and he gave me one of those MREs and it was 3 bean chili, and I thought I'd died and gone to heaven.
Yeah, it's amazing, right? I've said that so many times. There'll be times I've been on the trail for days. I come into some trail town and I go in and have a meal, and it's the best meal you've ever eaten in your life, right? Because you just come out for that. And then there's times I've gone back there in my travels on the road where maybe I haven't been on trail, and I'm like, this is nowhere near as good as I remember it being last. but I will say that, you know, trail food, that's another area.
Evolves,
you know. You talk about that idea of the MREs. This year I've been really enjoying a ton of different of the varieties that Backpacker's Pantry is one of my favorites, because it's literally the Smith family. I mean, there's a husband and wife team, and she's, you know, wearing the apron in the kitchen, small batch ingredients, making these meals from scratch by hand, and then taking those ingredients and applying them to you know, carryable, packable, small, lightweight meals that are ready to eat out there in the field. And she's got everything from vegan and vegetarian options, gluten-free options. I mean, it's, and you talk about the day of the MRE to what it was to what we can travel with now. And we're definitely reaching gourmet status comparatively.
Absolutely. Now I got to ask you a personal question here. You ready for this? Well, it's a personal professional question. Are you a tent guy or are you a hammock guy?
You know what? I do both quite a bit. I've become a hammock guy pretty much because of the fact that, again, that the way that it's evolved, you know, there was a time when hammocks were, they were a great option as far as, you know, a comfortable place to lounge, but the ability to put an entire system together that could shelter you in the way that you want to be sheltered, as far as, you know, the netting system to make sure that you're not going to be bitten up by mosquitoes in the night, the ability to have a tarp system over top of you to keep the wind and water off of you, the ability to carry a light enough hammock that still gave you a durability factor that could allow you to create a good hang angle, and strap systems that could allow you with the adjustability to have different distances between trees. I mean, all of that kind of stuff has really changed the hammock from a backyard lounger to a true full-featured shelter that can give you everything you need, including now under quilts that are, you know, wrap you in down, that keep the weight of your body from compressing the down below you and keeping the wind off of you and trapping you in almost like a little cocoon, quilt over quilts. I mean, you put the whole system together and you can go as light as you can with a tent and, you know, and have that comfort. Again, it's not for everybody. Some people say, you know, I just can't really find the right way to lay in those things. and you know, a lot of that could be just not having the sorting out the right, you know, hang angle and length between the straps and things like that. But at the same time, it depends on where I'm going. And I'll be honest, I think this is a really important message. And it's that idea of awareness. You know, are we going into some of these places that are need to be preserved and protected? And maybe there are some areas where the trees are just, you know, you shouldn't be using certain straps on certain trees. You're going to be, you know, you're damaging the tree, both aesthetically and the quality of, as far as the, you know, the ability for that tree to be as durable and sustaining in that environment. There's other times that you were going into locations where, to get to the trees that would be the appropriate trees, you're having to trample off trail through, you know, area that is fragile. If you're doing anything that's above tree line and you know, the White Mountains, for instance, is just, you know, that's probably just not the best option to have, because you're really going to cause more damage than you realize by walking through some of that very fragile flora and fauna. And so, you know, that being the case, it's hard to not keep a good tent in the mix as well. And nowadays, with the technology we have with shelter systems that you can combine tarps and mesh house style shelters that incorporate trekking poles as the pole system, you can carry a very roomy, what I would call a 2+ gear size tent, and you can do it for 2 pounds. I mean, so it's you know, you got to have them both in your repertoire, I guess, is the answer.
That's right. Well, look, you're going to, I appreciate you taking time. You're going to be at the local hiker next Saturday, the 5th, 1 o'clock. You're going to be at Mass General Store in Boone, North Carolina on the 8th at 6:30. You're going to be in Asheville at Diamond Branch on the 9th at 6:30. And then you're going to be in Charleston on the 22nd at 6:30 at Half Moon Outfitter. So you're going to have 4 stops here in South Carolina, or close to South Carolina, in North Carolina. Man, we love having you come back every year. I know you're here last year, you know, obviously you know what you're talking about. I'm sure those people that are going to be there are going to get an earful of information they can take with them and make their time out on the trail more enjoyable and frankly, more just get out there more, right?
That's the idea. That's exactly it. I you know, we really should be celebrating right now the fact that we do have the access we do right there. You know, you guys have the Palmetto Trail running through there. You know, that it's a gift. It's a gift that we've all been given, and we need to take advantage of it. We need to preserve it to be able to pass that gift on. But it truly is a gift that we'll keep on giving. And the more you get out there, the better. You know, I believe that you'll see the world and the ability to benefit from all those lessons we were talking about previously. So, you guys have a great community there in Spartanburg. I love the fact that I have the grouping of events you just ran through in that region of the country. It's just such a beautiful part of the country. There's it's just that area of the those Blue Ridge Mountains, and it's just something special about it. People say, you know, it's not the Rockies, they're not big tall mountains, but I tell you what, there's a diversity in the forest there that you just don't get anywhere else in the world, I believe. And so it's a special place, and I'm just fortunate to be able to spend a bit of time in it and hopefully motivate folks that live there year round to spend more of their time in it too.
Randy Propster, I appreciate you taking time to be on Woods and Water, South Carolina. Hope I can get out there and get to put a face with a voice while you're here. And thanks for coming, and hope it's a great tour for you this year.
I really appreciate the time. It's been awesome being on. I'd love to see you out there, and I hope to see you getting out there on trail when you're not on the radio.
So, I plan to be this year. Thank you for being on the show, and I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Have a great day.
Thank you. Wow, did you catch that? Not only did Randy hike the Appalachian Trail from start to finish, he hiked across the United States. How cool would that be? I mean, it's like Forrest Gump, I guess, type thing. But, man, the sights he's seen, and he's right. You don't know what we've got right here in the Continental 48. You know, I've been in 48 states, I guess. I lack Nevada and Hawaii. Getting ready to head back to Alaska this August. I mean, it's just, man, the what we've got right here in our own backyard will just blow your mind. It really will. And if we don't get out and take advantage of it and let people know it's out there, then how do they know it's out there to preserve to begin with? It is a gift, an incredible gift, the outdoors. Hope you enjoyed the show. Appreciate Randy and Michael being on. Appreciate Todd coming and talking about the fishing tournament. Make time to get out there. Take the back roads when you can. Don't forget the camera. See you back here next week with more Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Hit me from behind. Yes, I'm gone.